The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now we're joined by Gareth Mullins, executive chef at Annantara the Marker in Dublin and at Forbes Street Restaurant within that hotel, co-host with Gary O'Hanlon of the podcast Dishing It Out. He's fresh from the Champagne region of France.
I am, yeah. I'm full of notions now today. But
how'd you get on?
I had a wonderful trip, yeah. I was actually down in Champagne for the harvest with Bollinger. So I went and followed the process from taking the grapes from the vines all the way through to up to the pressing plant and then on to see them make their way down to the winemakers to watch it all unfold. It's incredible, the amount.
And the grapes have to be picked by hand.
Yeah, it's one of the parameters in Champagne to call your Champagne Champagne. As we know, Champagne is a sparkling wine from that region. So I was down in Ailly, and they all have to be handpicked. And I've been down there a good few times. I've never been down there for the harvest. But what I really noticed, which was fascinating, is when you're driving through the vineyards, all the fields are packed with people because there's like a 2 week window of when the grapes are at their perfect time to pick, and then like the acidity levels are right, the fruit is just ready for pressing.
But you have to take off your shoes and socks and get in there and stomp on the grapes.
That part of it is definitely that come in through the years. They use the big stainless steel industrial machinery, but to taste the grape juice raw from a chef's point of view, I don't want to say I could taste the final product, but I could definitely feel. They use Pinot Noir mainly. That's the main grape they use in Bollinger. And I could definitely feel the characteristics of the wine. It's something that I'm quite interested in. I'm learning it as I go. So.
Righty. A jolly with Bolly.
A jolly with Bolly.
Okay, now, you have cooked an apple crumble with vanilla custard.
Yeah, and I've shared crumble recipes on here before, but I just think it's the perfect time of year now that, like, you know, the winter, the winter is starting to come in, the autumn is here, and I'm doing this one with blackberries. All the hedgerows are full of blackberries at the moment, and I think it's a brilliant thing to do with kids to show them. So you're going to need 1 kilo of cooking apples or brambly apples, which are going to peel and core and chop them up. You need 300 grams of blackberries. Feel free to go and pick them just when you come back. Give them a good wash. 3 tablespoons of caster sugar, 1 tablespoon of apple juice or a splash of water if you haven't got apple juice. And then for the crumble part, you need 100 grams of flour, 75 grams of butter, 50 grams of rolled oats or porridge oats, 100 grams of demerara sugar. Definitely worth using demerara here. It gives that lovely caramel flavour. 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon, or if you're not a fan of cinnamon, allspice is also lovely. And 100 grams of, I'm using hazelnuts, but any nuts that you like. The little cheat I'm going to give you is the vanilla custard. Buy a shop bought custard, but semi-whip 100 mils of cream and fold it through the custard.
So you get just posh custard.
It'll just pimp it up a little bit. It'll just give it a little bit more flavour. And then a little bit of vanilla extract as well. It'll just give it a bit. It'll feel like it was a proper creme anglaise.
Yeah, and it'll make it paler than the shop
bought
custard.
Exactly, and it'll just make it a little bit richer. So then to make the crumble itself, you just preheat your oven to 190 degrees. Peel and core your apples, cut them into bite-sized pieces, pop them into a pan with the sugar, the apple juice, and just put them on a medium heat and just cook them down till they just start to ever so slightly wilt. Take them off the heat, fold through the blackberries, because if you put the blackberries in too early, they dissipate into nothing. Then you're going to transfer that into an oven-proof dish, and then you're going to make the crumble part. You just blend the flour and the sugar and the flour and the butter, in a food processor, or if you're teaching kids, just get them to rub it through their fingers. Yeah. Don't worry if it clumps a little bit, because that actually turns into a bit of biscuit as it's cooking. And then you fold in the rest of the ingredients. So it's the oats, the cinnamon, the hazelnuts, and then the brown sugar. And when you're putting it on top of the crumble, don't press it down. Kind of let it organically fall, because the little clumps, as I said, will come together like little bits of biscuit. And then you just pop it into the oven, bake it for about 30 minutes until it goes.
With that wonderful vanilla custard.
Exactly. It's really, really a treat on a Sunday.
You brought me a sample. It's delicious.
Yeah, no, it's very, very good.
Gorgeous. Now, I wanted to ask you about something else, because a lot of reports about how difficult it is once you get a Michelin star to hang on to it.
It's a double-edged sword, really. Like, I mean, a lot of chefs that enter into that world of fine dining, and that's really where...
Do you have to enter, by the way? Do you have to tell the Michelin people, I'm available for consideration?
Yeah.
Because you won't get them running down the local...
It's kind of your PR company, and, like, it'll be... You're that style of restaurant that wants a Michelin star. And then you have to get... your kitchen brigade and your front of house team all to be working towards getting this Michelin star. And when you get your Michelin star, generally the prices go up. And I often hear people saying, oh yeah, they're just putting their prices up now because they have a star. Really, the amount of labour, attention to detail, ingredient selection, training, like the work that goes into what... I was very, very lucky to eat in a 2-star Michelin restaurant last Sunday, actually, over in Liverpool, a restaurant called Moor Hall.
Yeah.
And in the kitchen, it was a 24-seater restaurant and there were 16 chefs cooking.
My goodness. And did they know you were a chef yourself?
Yeah, we actually brought, as you know, I'm a member of Eurotalk and we're in the process of the Young Chef competition, and we actually brought the 7 finalists over there. The final is actually next Sunday, and part of getting to the final, we always bring them for a Michelin star lunch in one day. So we flew over to Liverpool, we ate lunch and we came back. But the level of detail and the cooking, it's different to what goes on.
So 24 people at table. Now, you might have 2 sittings, but still, 16 staff in the kitchen.
And then there was 2 sommeliers, there was a restaurant manager, there was 4 or 5 other team on the floor. And this is why you pay the money that you pay, along with eating, you know, very well selected, very premium ingredients.
And then the linen, the cutlery, everything has got to be pristine.
And look, there's a lot of talk at the moment about the pressures that are on our industry at the moment. And there's huge talk about bringing the VAT back down to 9%, which I really do hope happens, because, you know, smaller restaurants are really getting strangled with cost at the moment. And whatever about Michelin star restaurants feeding those costs, your high street restaurant, which we all love to dine in all the time to celebrate all of our occasions, are really hurting at the moment. So it's not just the Michelin people that are really hurting, but Michelin star restaurants, like very famously now over in the UK, Le Gavroche, Michel Roux's restaurant, closed only last year. It's been in business for over 30 years. His father ran it. He took it over. He ran it.
Yeah.
He just couldn't keep it open.
And yet the kind of grub that he would be serving, you might find on the side of the road in France when you're driving through it.
Yeah, and look, I really sound like I'm full of notions now. I've eaten in Le Gavroche and it's one of my favourite meals that I've ever eaten. They cost a lot of money to run, you know, and I don't think people, I'm not expecting for anybody to give sympathy, but when somebody gets a Michelin star, they've poured their heart and soul into that restaurant to get that accolade.
But the message is, be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
All right. Gareth Mullins, Executive Chef at Anantara The Marker in Dublin, thank you very much for joining us. Don't forget, our items are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Still to come on...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on Newstalk.